It's so clinical.
Welcome to the catch-up where Marto's just reminiscing about his favourite subject at school.
Say hello, Piper.
Hey. Hello.
Robin's son, who came in with a fake toothache and is now...
And now has to go and do maths. Yes. That's where we're at.
That's right. You can hear more of Piper today and his toothache stories and lovely suggestions for folks. Also, Shane Warne, guys. Warney's on to give us an uncut live show, Marto, where any question he will answer.
Will he be doing it in his undies, do you think, when he's on stage? Oh, wouldn't that be spectacular?
Why? Why would that be spectacular?
Oh, just to look at the unit that is.
Wow.
Wasn't it a dildo? What was the inflatable thing that he had when he was in his Playboy undies?
It was an inflatable appendage, and it was with the Playboy undies, and those two ladies were... Let's just say that
they were on an alley rate, weren't they?
They were, yes. Thank you. The newspaper was paying the bill.
Okay. Can you ask Warney all these questions? You can, can't you?
You can, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Apologies for Marto saying dildo. Let's get into the catch-up.
You just did it again.
Here it is.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts. There's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Joins us every week, makes time for us. On the line now, from Canberra, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. Good morning to you, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, Ed, Marto and Robin. Always a pleasure to talk to you people in Brisbane. Good people.
Let's get going. What's happening, mate? 35% primary vote sackings. You got hung up on by Trump and now Corey Bernardi has defected. What's going on, mate?
Well, 35% on the primary vote, I'm about as popular as Anthony Mundine. But really, Corey Bernardi has now created the Australian Conservatives. Corey's Conservatives, or Corey's Commandos. I can think of a couple of other alliterations.
Yes.
Starting with
yes,
sure. Corey's yeah, bunch yes. of... But really and truly, Corey Bernardi, I mean, he still thinks women are the devil's work. his idea of a good time is putting a cheesel on each finger and saying, look, I'm partying. He's a real solo man, if you get my drift.
Yeah, right. Get the idea.
That's who Corey is.
He's a handsome man. But what are you going to do about all these problems that seem to be springing up?
Well, Marto, what I'm going to do is what I've done previously, and that is absolutely nothing.
Good.
I'm going to sit on my hands and just wait for them to come for me, because I'd probably give myself about 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
I think I'm gone. Chris Rapana will be Prime Minister. I mean, and then they'll be queuing up to invade this country. I don't think it'll be the Chinese or the Americans. It'll be the New Zealanders. They'll be popping over.
That's who I'm worried about.
So what are you and Lucy up to tonight?
Well, Robin, I'm going to give the cook a hug apron with some fake boobs on it. It's always a bit of a laugh at the Turnbull household. Yeah. And cook a nice passata with a pappardelle, matched with a Sangiovese from Tuscany, of course. And we enjoy curling up on the couch and watching I'm a Celebrity get me out of here. The revelations. Oh,
who's your favourite on that show?
Zipporah, of course.
Yeah, Zipporah, mate.
Back Israel. she hasn't had a shag for 6 years. And she said she doesn't like bras. Surprise, surprise. Then what else? Chris Brown revealed that he was a fat little kid. It's great stuff. And then Dane Swan said he doesn't know who the Prime Minister is. Well, mate, in the next month, nobody does. So.
That's right. It could be him. Well, Rich Uncle Mal of the PM, direct from Canberra. Best of luck, mate. Hang in there.
Before I go, I just want to say the Triple M rocks kombucha.
Yes, Mal.
As opposed to my cultured drink kombucha that keeps me regular. Good on you guys. You're great constituents and terrific guys.
You're so rich. Thank you,
Mal. He's going on stage with the new show, Fellow Shane Warne.
Hey, guys, how are we?
Hey.
Excited.
Warney, why are you doing this? Is it because there's a TV show and everyone's always done biographies of you? Is this a chance to set the record straight?
Hey.
Yeah, it's a bit of that. It's look, I've been lucky enough over the last 25-odd years to be playing international cricket. I've been in the spotlight for a while. I've been judged. I've made a lot of mistakes along the journey, and I take responsibility for a lot of those things. But along that journey also, I think there's been a dozen unauthorised biographies. Jeez. There's been a stage musical show.
Yes.
I think there could be a tally movie coming out. There's been a lot of things being written about me that just just a total lies, untrue, made up.
Do you remember, Warnie, one of the first, when you were a cricketer and you were, mm-hmm. but you were starting to get a big profile because you were so great and everyone loved your personality off the field. Mm-hmm. Do you remember one of the first couple fake stories that you read about yourself and thought, hang on a sec, this is different. This is not. Why isn't this happening to Tim May?
Well, there's been. I think one of the first things I think was in 93 Ashes series.
Yeah.
After the first Test match, which is what, 24 years ago or something.
Yeah.
My goodness. I was sitting on the bus after the first Test match, and we were going to play one of the county games. I can't remember where we were going.
Yeah.
And obviously we'd gone 1-0 up in the series. I bowled the gatting ball, a pretty good man of the match.
Good day.
A pretty good
ball chain.
Test match.
Beautiful.
So it's not a bad day to read the papers. So I picked up the papers and I see these. I can't remember what paper it was, and it said 10 facts you didn't know about Shane Warne.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, well, that'll be interesting.
Let's see how they went.
And there were 10 facts I didn't know about myself.
10 were wrong.
So they were like, grew up on the beach, which was sort of half true because I did live opposite the beach, but said. Yeah. Was a lifesaver, surfer, used to get up at 5 a.m. every morning and start surfing.
Yeah, right.
I said, well, I was just getting in at 5 a.m. I don't know. I was getting up at 5 a.m. to start surfing. And it just kept going like this. And I went, my goodness. So I did have an early introduction.
Yeah, that was a long time. You've been dealing with what they call false facts and fake news for a long time, Shane.
Before it was invented.
Yeah, I have. But look, I take the good with the bad. You know, I think it's part of the territory when you play international cricket and you play, and you've been in the spotlight and that, and you make mistakes like I have. I brought a lot of it on myself, and that's for sure. But there's been what disappoints me is that at the moment they're into my children at the moment. They're following my kids around. They're making up 100%. 100% total. Lies and made up stories about my daughter running in magazines and articles. Ugh. And that's just not fair.
Nah.
They can say what they like about me. They can do whatever they want, but they can make up stuff about me. If I bring something on myself, they can nail me. They can do whatever, but you know, don't start following my children around to school, after school, to work.
They do, though.
It's just not
they
fair.
Do.
That's awful,
so,
Robin. Yep.
So, Shane, are you going to just stand on stage with a microphone and talk, and then people can ask you questions?
Yeah, it'd be a little bit more than that, but that's basically the gist of it. We'll show. There'll be some footage.
You'll be up there with someone else.
Still sorting exactly that.
Mick Malloy.
Out.
Mick Malloy is the man for the job. Surely, Shane Warne in conversation with Mick Malloy. It's an 8-hour show. It starts at midnight,
and we're drinking on stage, and it gets very, very loose.
Casinos
and we ask people to put their mobile phones away,
phones away. That's great,
and all that sort of stuff at the end too, as we start to feel a bit loose. But,
so can we start? Can we start with a couple of questions
Go
now?
On. Throw
Robin.
One.
Right.
Okay,
obviously,
so
not going to give the game away right now on the radio, otherwise there's no point buying a ticket to the show.
You can give a bit of a hint, okay?
I'll give you a taste.
A sample.
Yeah.
These boys are going to be much more interested in your cricketing history and all of the wonderful things that you've achieved, but I'm more interested in things like, how did you get Liz Hurley?
Yes, yeah, so you're not the first person to ask that, actually. well, I can't tell you exactly how I did that, but sometimes there's just chemistry between two people.
Yeah,
isn't
but where
there?
Did you meet her? Was it across a crowded room in a pub? Like, how did that actually happen?
Tinder.
It was in a crowded room,
Tinder.
And it was at the races. No, it was race at the races in 2009 or 2010. 2010 at the races in England, yeah.
And she saw you. You saw her.
Well, hang on. Now you're asking. This is what I said. I'll tell you. So we were in a crowded room. We were at the races, and we had a bit of chemistry.
You have to buy tickets,
Robin.
If I buy tickets, will you fully extend that story?
Yes.
If I buy tickets, will you tell me whether you caught that New Zealand kid who took a photo of you having a durry?
Did you ever catch him?
And put some pillows up under his ribs and punch the crap out of him. No, I didn't do that.
Of course you would. It's going to be great. Warnie Uncut. It's on stage. It's coming to Brisbane. There is going to be a big Q&A session. And Warnie, one more if I wouldn't mind, yep. before, because we were chatting off air about some of the other sort of spoken word shows that have gone around, and you saw you were in the audience for a Charlie Sheen spoken word Q&A situation.
Yeah.
What on earth was that like?
Yeah.
Were you sitting there thinking, geez, this guy's done a lot more than I have. Is it?
Well, maybe I thought he's got to do a lot of more to get it. No. No, I was thinking, I'm a big fan of Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
I really did like that show, and it was so much better with Charlie Sheen in it.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed it with him in it.
Yeah.
And it was just great listening to his story.
Yeah.
At the end of it with Q&As, the first one came up and the microphone's in the crowd and some girl ran down and started screaming hysterically and said, "Charlie, I've got to know the answer to this one. What are you doing tonight?"
Whoa.
And I was like, if she had been more than a 5 out of 10, I reckon she might have been a chance. But she was under a 5 out of 10.
Charlie,
and it was only 11 p.m.
Warnie.
It wasn't after midnight.
Charlie said, next question.
Next one, yeah, exactly.
Warnie, yes, Robin.
Just an observation, right?
Yes,
as
Robin.
We're sitting here talking to you.
Yes.
When I've asked you questions about your relationship, your body language totally changes. So I would suggest to you that when you're rehearsing this, be very careful of where your hands are, because that gives so much away.
Where's the camera? Where is it? Did I go downstairs? Did I put them under the table? What did I do with them?
You wrapped your arms around yourself like you were hugging yourself. And then when you were talking about the kid, you puffed your chest out. I'm just saying, buddy, you give a lot away.
Well, maybe I was just needed a cuddle.
There you go. That's someone needs to give one.
Maybe
a
I just needed a cuddle.
You practice your gestures, brother.
Where's the bloody camera in here? I've forgotten where it is.
Tickettech.com.au is where you can grab your tickets this Friday at Triple M presenting Warnie Uncut, 29th of April at Concert Hall QPAC. Shane Warne, always a pleasure. Oh, there he goes.
See you, Warnie.
Bye.
Thanks, Warnie. Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Robin Bailey, we've got a very special guest.
Oh. Well, yeah, nothing like parenting on the radio. Behind the scenes this morning, my youngest son was on the phone at about 6:30 this morning saying that he had a massive toothache.
Yeah.
And that the tooth needed to come out. It was wobbly. I've known about this tooth for a little while. The dentist knows about this tooth. It's one of the molars.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, the only way that I could think about how to deal with this was to, get him in here and get some of your assistance. So this is my youngest son. He's 12 and his name is Piper.
Hey, Piper.
Good, thanks.
So the deal is that we have a toothache, but now that he's here, I'm not quite sure how bad it actually is.
Let me go through the symptoms with young Piper. All right, Pipe, first things first. Does it hurt to talk, buddy?
No.
Okay. Does it hurt to drink a drink?
No.
When you're walking along, every step it sort of hurts?
No.
Have you got a massive headache?
A little bit, not massive.
Okay.
So what's going on with your tooth?
It hurts when I eat and it's wobbly and sore, but it's not ready to come out.
Did it feel a bit better when I showed you that pair of pliers that I had in my desk?
No.
Didn't feel better. Hey, do you want to go ahead with that?
Do you want this tooth out?
Okay. I'm not sure because I don't know if it's ready to come out because it's sore, but it's really stuck in there.
That's what teeth are supposed to be.
So what are you supposed to? Okay, no, seriously, you dads amongst us, what are you supposed to do with that?
I had three of my kids' teeth come out in apples.
Really? So if I give him an apple and
really hard one. Don't give him a flowery one. Give him a real tough one.
What else can you do?
But I don't know with molars. That's sort of those fangy ones. They'll pull them out. I don't know about molars. You might need to
Ed, have you ever had experience with teeth?
Yes, I have. Thank you very much. Look, because at the moment I've got like a sort of 50-cent style grill, but normally I have my own teeth. And I mean, these are diamonds and dollar signs, which are, it's more for my, you know, just for the crisp. But let's move on. Yeah. So what I do, I've had apples, I've had them fall out. Piper, I once took one of my own baby teeth. It got loosened in a game of soccer at school with an elbow, and I just ripped it out.
Oh my God.
Piper, that's pretty tough, isn't it? That's like a tough guy thing to do.
Yeah.
Piper, have you ever heard the story about using a string and a door? That's how my wife, that is genuine, that works. I don't know about molars.
Mate, the school bell's going to go in about 10 minutes and I can't possibly get you to school in that time. So you're in the studio, you have a tooth, what exactly do you want us to do with this?
I have no idea.
It's coming out.
Hold on, what does everyone else do? With mums and dads, what would you do?
Like, I can go to the dentist, costs money.
1-333-53.
If there's any home, you should listen. Triple M listeners are the best doing home surgery, doing their own stuff and fixing things up.
So are you volunteering if we get some advice as to how to do it?
I'll have a go at anything.
Oh my God.
And you don't have to have a Medicare card, nothing.
What do you do with a wiggly tooth that's not quite ready, but it's causing him pain so much so that he can't go to school? If you're a dentist, if you're a plumber.
I'm not sure if it's ready to come out.
Let Uncle Marto sort that one
out. No, let Samantha from Burpen go, because we've got so many wonderful home dentists. Sam, what should he do?
He just needs to go to the toolbox and get the trusty pliers out, I did when I was a kid, and just wrench it out.
Do it himself or someone else?
No, himself.
Oh, right.
He's going to count to three, buddy. Oh.
If I could send you a photo, Samantha, I've handed him my yellow pliers, pliers. It's all up to him, isn't it?
Yeah, mate. You'll be right.
That's excellent. Okay, there we go. So that's one for pliers. Mark that down. That's pliers. One. He's Jim from Redland Bay. Okay, Jim, we got a rogue tooth in the studio, mate. What are we going to do to get rid of it?
Exactly what Marto said, mate. Get a bit of braid fishing line, tie it around the tooth down near the bottom of the tooth so it's a bit lower than the top of the tooth. Tie it to the door handle, slam the door handle, mate. Get him to brace himself, slam the door, mate. The tooth will come straight out. When we done that to my son Ben, mate, we never found the tooth ever again. But I tell you what, it's out of there and he didn't have any pain whatsoever.
There you go.
Good on you, Jim.
Piper, you happy with that one? He's crying, Jim.
That'll hurt.
I think that will hurt too, mate. And as your mother, I'm not quite
real
sure
quick. It's real quick. It's like pulling a bit of tape off, you know, where you got hair on your arms. Do it quick and it doesn't hurt.
It was when he said brace yourself that I
called. Oh, you're good. Otherwise, you pull your whole body towards the door.
Exactly. Okay, Les of Kalanga, what do you reckon about a rogue tooth?
Oh, I reckon if you go down to reception, you'll probably find yourself a minty or a redskin.
Minty. Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's not too hard, though, but make sure it's soft enough so he can bite down into it. And when he opens his mouth up, the tooth will be stuck to it.
That is so true. So many fillings get lost to minties, don't they?
Tell me about it.
Tell me about it.
But I saw that woman on A Current Affair last night who was eating the million minties.
This is only saying one.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, we might actually have someone who knows something here. Kate from North Lakes.
Good morning.
What should we do? Who are you?
Okay. I'm going to be Kate from North Lakes.
Right. You're going to be? Right.
But you're a paediatric dental nurse, are you not?
I am.
Excellent. So you're an expert in this situation. All right. We've heard door handles.
20 years of an expert.
Okay. Excellent. We've got pliers. What do you say?
No, we'll ask her, how does she rank those three? Pliers, door handle, or minty?
Minty's probably going to be the better option of the three.
Oh.
However, give that young Piper a kiss and a cuddle, a cab charge, and send him to school. Piper, you just need to keep that tooth clean. There's probably a bit of food and things like that up under it because it's flapping, because it's not ready to fully fall out.
Yeah.
So that's why it's sore. So there's like germs and bacteria underneath it. It is quite common. It happens very regularly, and it's generally just the gum underneath and the gum around it because it's sore and it's wobbly, so they don't clean it properly, and that's why it's sore. So have a good day at school, mate. And you're fine.
Well played, Kate.
Spoken like a true mother. Thank you so much, Kate.
Yes, there you go, Kate has got children.
You just got a flappy tooth. That's all right.
So are we going to go to school now, bud?
Guess so.
Well, it's either that or the pliers.
Pliers.
Pliers. Which one?
Get some minties on the way to school. How's that? Yeah,
like, that's a good middle ground. Best of luck. Best of luck.
That is the boringest one of the lot. That was terrible.
You sure you don't want these guys to have a crack?
Mato's very good at it.
What do you reckon? He's thinking about it, actually. Yeah. He seriously is contemplating it. What do you reckon?
Hey, give it another day or two.
Yeah, I reckon I'll give it a day and see if it's ready.
All right, okay. A day and a minty, and we'll see how you go. Good on you, Piper. Nice to have you with us, mate.
A lot of people know that I drove cabs for about 8 years of life while I was on radio, just mainly for free. But it gave me a great insight into the business, and I'm still a supporter of taxi cabs. But I tell you what, in the Uber versus taxi war at the moment, have you heard that the taxi drivers, they had a big meeting yesterday, they are going to come at us. Do you ever listen to this fella?
We're going to be marshalling thousands of small business owners in the taxi industry, and we're going to campaign throughout every single electorate.
Righto, in the build-up to the state election, they're going to be campaigning inside the cabs. Your cabbie is going to be talking to you about politics.
Oh, isn't that what they used to do?
Yeah, when they used to have form guides on the front seat. When there used to be bench seats in the front of cabs.
There used to be bench seats, and they'd always talk to you about their political persuasion. But so now they're going to like hand out leaflets and stuff.
Leaflets, have stickers and all things like that. All right, that's their side because they're concerned the government didn't look after them. You know, my point of view is just a bad decision. Like if you bought a house and its price went down, they bought a business and the price went down, this stuff happens. But Uber ain't everything that you think it is. Ed, do you want to declare, are you Uber or taxi?
Oh, mate, I'm both. I'm both. And I used my Uber app while I was overseas, and that was very helpful to be able to go like in Paris and London and stuff. It was like pretty incredible. I was like, oh, wow, it's already on my app. But I am, as you know, Marta, I still think that Brisbane cabbies are some of the best in the world. They know, especially when you get an old school one, they know exactly where they're going. They know the roads, about the traffic, what traffic's going to be where.
Yeah.
And they are some of the greats.
I don't know. I like both. So we're all pretty well, we use both. And I like that because... But I worry about Uber. We all know that they don't pay tax in Australia. That's probably my biggest concern in terms of Australia going forward. And don't kid ourselves. Uber's cheaper, as everyone it seems to be.
Unless there's a surge.
Well, let's talk about that because Uber's cheap fares are a mirage. What's going to happen? It's a business model where they're trying to drive the incumbent business, i.e. taxis, out of business, and then their prices will naturally go up. Surge. That is the thing I hate most about Ubers. The major thing I hate about Ubers is the surge. This has happened in Victoria. It's only come out in the last couple of days, and I bet it's happening somewhere in Brisbane. An underground network of Uber drivers is using Messenger app, you know, WhatsApp, how you can get your own little private group.
Yes.
To trigger surge pricing. So they are deliberately making a surge occur. In a bid to secure the lucrative surge fare, drivers are cancelling rides on the way to pick up passengers, so then the surge goes on, they put themselves back onto your little Uber screen to get the more expensive ride. So you order them, everything seems to be fine, there's a WhatsApp going, listen, everything's busy in that area, all you guys or girls, turn off your Uber, they disappear. I've had this happen in front of my very eyes. Where'd that car just go? Just disappears. And next thing you know, you're paying two times.
So do you want to know if it's happening in Brisbane?
Hold on, I'll just finish off this one. Yeah, sources say a man dubbed the godfather of Uber surge studies the Melbourne road network and it alerts these drivers who are involved where the next surge is going to be. How you going there?
Okay.
Still like Uber?
Brad of New Farm, you are an Uber driver. What do you have to say about the surge?
Well, you're not going to like what I'm about to say because I am a part of this network here in Brisbane as well.
Oh, there is one?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how does it happen?
See, what happens is we can kind of see when it's going to happen. We kind of get these little increments that come through and the lighting changes and... We can kind of see when it's better to start. Now, I just want to point out that we don't like doing it.
Yeah, okay.
The reason why we do it, the rates are horribly low. It's 90 cents a kilometre plus GST.
You don't get paid enough, do you?
No, rates are horribly low. Absolutely. When you compare it to Sydney, which is almost $1.50 a kilometre, which is great. But, at the end of the day, the bottom dollar affects the drivers. So we don't like doing it, but it's the only real way of making a genuine or a semi-decent income.
Are the surges you can predict when they are going to be? Like, are they a particular time of each day or on a Friday night, Saturday night?
It's kind of predictable after a while. I'll give you an example. Guns N' Roses last night. We knew when it was going to finish. We had people that were at the concert themselves and letting us know one song to go, two songs to go. And so we all logged off, and then we wait for about 10 minutes after the show, and we see everyone crossing Kessels Road. And then we kind of see the map turn red, and that's a sign for Surge, and everyone's making it to the band, and then we log on.
Oh, my God. So how much money did you make last night?
Not much.
Wait, what was the Surge? Two times, three times?
Oh, no. It only went up to about 1.7, which is about $1.70 a kilometre, so I multiply that 1.7.
Which is probably what cabbies are making anyway.
True, exactly right. So that means we have to utilise the Surge factor to log on during those periods to make a semi-decent income.
So, Brad, why are you an Uber driver?
Well, I originally did it when it first started. I've been around since day one, and it was great. The rates were great. It was wonderful. It's not
how much have the rates dropped, Brad? Sorry, from when it started to now, how much have the rates dropped?
Well, I don't really know. We were trying to figure this out the other day, actually. I reckon from the early days back in 2012, 2013, when it started in Brisbane, I think it was about $1.60, $1.70, $1.80 mark.
Okay.
So it's definitely dropped. And then there was GST, then there was a 20% summer promotion deal but never finished. There's all these other little things as well.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, it's, you know.
Yes, it does start. It is starting to feel like a very large company who is finding their ways around, A, the tariffs and laws and taxpaying obligations in the various countries they're in, and now moving that down to start squeezing the people that have decided to come on board and work for them.
Brad, have you noticed since a lot of the cabbies have come and driven to Uber, the standards may be dropping slightly?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? There's some great cabbies out there.
We know. Yes. Okay, thanks, mate. Thanks, Brad. We really appreciate that. Good insight. Big names in your workplace. They're all
over the place. The big names in your workplace. Favourite segment of the week? Oh, well, some of us. I don't know whether everybody, but it's when you're just working away at your haberdashery or your dry cleaners or your plumbing, and all of a sudden Wally Lewis walks through the door. Can you run me up a little skirt? That's what Wally says.
Wow.
Or Josh Holt walks in and says, I want two pies. Who's Josh Holt? Yes, it can be minor celebrities as well. It can be anyone.
Harsh. Channel 10 weather guy.
Channel 10 weather guy. Is that harsh to say he's a minor celebrity?
No, that's not harsh. Robin.
Thank you.
Welcome to Triple M. That's not harsh.
Okay,
that's
the Gunners are in town. You could have Axl Rose meandering through.
Oh, hold on. Here's an example of some. This has been going for a while and we haven't run out yet.
It was actually at my school and it was Craig McLaughlin and Check 1-2, the band. We entered a competition.
Heavy and Kerrod Walters.
Stevie Wonder. Oh, the legend Gary Larson.
I was working up at the Grandview Hotel in Bowen and I had Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman come in.
Really ran the gamut there from Check 1-2 to Stevie Wonder.
Something for everyone, mate.
Everyone got the idea? Big names in your workplace. They're all over the place. The big names in your workplace. Do I have to say anything else? It's big names in your workplace. That's what we're after here.
And 133353, if a big name, no name too big, no name too small, has come into your workplace. They're still filming one of those giant Pacific Rim movies.
Uprising
at the
or something. Yeah, or other,
Clint Eastwood's son's around. There's other big names. Scott Eastwood. There's others around. Come on, give us a shout. Rod from Caboolture. All right, Rod, kick it off, mate. What was the workplace? Who was the big name?
It was Arthur Beetson.
Arthur, rest in peace, the great man. Now, former rugby legend. If anyone doesn't know, State of Origin first captain. What was the job?
I was in an estate removalist. I had some paperwork, just said, Arthur, pick up from Botany, take to Ephraim Island. I've knocked on the door, and there he was.
And what was he wearing?
He was wearing clothes at that stage, but by the time I'd finished, he was sitting in the pool wearing budgie smugglers, and that's something that will live with me forever.
There you go, the big fella.
There's something you can't erase from your memory, Rod.
you got him
just as he was moving up to Sydney, because he ended up moving up that northern end of the Gold Coast.
Nice. Yeah, to Ephraim Island. I think he was coming up for a coaching position.
Yeah, he ended up living there for years.
Yeah, that's where he had his heart attack, wasn't it?
That's exactly right.
So. Well, may he rest in peace, the great man, Mr. Beetson. Thank you, Rod. Well done. Hey, Greg's from Ipswich. Okay, Greg, who was the big name? What was the workplace?
Well, I had Paul Harrigan come into our workplace.
That's
moved on to us having to go out to his house to service his swimming pool.
Oh, you went to his pool.
Is
okay.
This the morning of budgie smuggling former rugby league players?
he wasn't there.
Oh, he wasn't. Did you give him a That's Gold?
No, this was a bit before that even.
Wow.
Before the That's Gold. I was only a teenager back at the time, but I also remember it was about 3 years ago. I was up in Cairns doing recruiting, and I ran into Mark Geyer, Benny Barber, Justin Hodges, all in the same conference with when I was recruiting.
Wow.
Well, who were you recruiting for? Yeah. French rugby? That's quite impressive.
I was just up in the Fogs Recruiting Centre up in Cairns.
Fogs. Greg. Yeah, good job, buddy. All right, excellent. Greg's brought a lot to the table.
Right, we need a non-rugby league famous person. Okay, Nick.
Hello, Nick of Tanamera.
What do you got,
buddy? Bessie Bardot and John English.
Ooh.
Bessie Bardot. Who's Bessie Bardot? Just remind me.
Oh, that's a bit sad. She looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But they come over as part of a tour de force. We were the last UN deployment to East Timor in 2005.
Yeah, she's...
And they come over with a couple of comedians, or at least that's what they told us they were, and put on a couple of shows, one for us in Dili and the other one for the main group up in Moliana. And we escorted them around Dili until they got on a helicopter and flew up to Moliana.
And John English was involved.
John English brought his son with him, who was a very good guitar player. They both put on a good show. Some of the great songs that he's done over the years, or whatever. And in between sweating up a storm, John put on a pretty good show.
Yeah, rest his soul too.
I've just looked up Bessie Bardot. And she's described as an Australian businesswoman, author, body model, television host, and socialite.
Well, what did she have to offer?
Was she hosting?
Better look in the most of the things we could see around in East Timor at the time.
We got the idea, Nick. Thanks, mate. Yes.
And Paul, who came into your workplace and where were you?
I was working up on Great Keppel Island doing water sports up there for quite a few years. And when the X Tour for In Excess started, it actually started on the island. They knew the manager and we had them for 3 weeks. And at that stage, Michael was with Kylie. So one of my jobs was to take them to a secluded beach every now and then pick them up a few hours later.
Were they on those tractor things, those...
Try things.
Were they on them? No.
The ones that they used to hop on and the wind would come up and they'd get blown out to sea.
That's the one.
Yeah, no, I don't think they did them.
So they didn't actually do the water sports. They just got transported to the island and left there.
No, I put them in one of the ski boats and we'd take them around to one of the secluded beaches around the island. And, they'd stay there for 3-4 hours with the whole pack. And
what were they doing, do you think?
Blue Lagoon stuff. Just a bit of Blue Lagoon work, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit because I came around the corner a couple of times and just saw two nude bums hopping out of the water.
What woman's day wouldn't give for that photo?
We have a winner today. Well done, Paul.
Yeah. Well done, Paul.
Love a bit of nudity on the show, mate. You're going to the Rugby Tens. It is this weekend. Tickets still at Ticket Tech, but you are going for free just for seeing Michael Hutchinson, Kylie's bum. Well done.
A couple of nude bums.
No worries. Thanks for that.
On you, Paul.
When I see a headline, police charge football, and I normally think the next word's going to be player. Yeah. And then I think the next words after that are going to be drunken and then tryst. But
casino.
They're not this time. This is quite incredible, Marto. This is quite an incredible story. I have to get your take on it.
Which one?
All Blacks security consultant. Charged over listening device found in hotel. Now, if anyone remembers, this was before the first Bledisloe Cup match of last year. Now, this was inside there was a listening device found in a chair, I believe, in the All Blacks team hotel. Tell me when I start getting
I can remember this because they were at Intercontinental Hotel at Double Bay. I remember the whole thing. It was about August last year. And it happened on the Monday, but the news didn't come out until the Saturday, which was game day, first test against the All Blacks. They kept this bottled up and then availed it to make Australia look stupid. It was an enormous story. It still is. This morning, got a phone call from New Zealand earlier this morning. The biggest news story in New Zealand today is this one. So what's happened, allegedly, because they've got this security guard, and this is what they do. When they land in Australia, he takes care of them the whole way. He's a bodyguard sort of thing. He takes care of all their security needs.
And he's from very high, one of those high-profile, Robin, those ones that look after really big names. There's photographs of this guy who's been charged with Bill Clinton.
Oh,
there's
wow.
One with him.
Look at that one.
Yeah,
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
He's escorted Paris Hilton. He's done Chappelle Corby. Oprah Winfrey,
there
all the
go.
Big stars.
He knows what to do.
Has she ever been in the same sentence as Oprah Winfrey, Chappelle Corby? What did she need bodyguarding from?
What, that's Chappelle?
She hasn't been here for a while.
Well,
he
the media, gone. I guess.
Yeah, she's been in jail for 15 years. Anyway, so apparently, well, this is what the police are alleging, that he, because they said they found it in their team room, and the coach of the All Blacks is a former detective. He's really paranoid. Whoa. Steve Hansen, really paranoid. Worried about everything. He puts covers up around training fields and stuff like this, okay? He's a little bit nutso in that regard, but that's okay. So he's always saying, make sure you keep an eye out for any listening devices. So this guy's come up with one, probably to make himself look, you know, oh, I'm necessary around here. That's why you pay me the big dollars.
Right.
I found the bug. Okay. But it's taken 10 months for the investigation. Is that nearly 9 months for the investigation to go, we think we know what happened here?
So we can't speculate on him because it's in court. But let's just say I had a listening device in an opposition's thing. Let's just say this morning I put a listening device in Barbecue Bob and Bianca's show
You're at that other radio station. Right? Yeah.
In a rugby sense, what am I going to learn from the team hotel that I could then use against them on the field? What am I going to learn?
What would they be covering off on? Well, what tactics they're using, because it's that extra 2%. Everyone's physically about the same, but it's those 2 inches right at the top. That's where they've got us covered, I'm sure. Like Barbecue Bob and whatever that girl's name is, they would have mentally,
tactics.
And that's what they'll be tweaking their show and just go, we've got that Ed Cavalli and Robin and Marto. We know their game inside out.
This is so weird. This is such a weird story. And I'm looking forward to more developments, because surely if you put a listening device inside the All Blacks room and they're about to play the Wallabies, all you'll hear is laughing.
Yeah.
And then they'll try and kick it. And they've got this bloke.
Remember back in
Quake
2003,
Cooper?
They beat us.
Is this in the stop whinging category?
Pretty much.
Time to do this? Because there is a place, Marto. Yes, it is a weather chat. A quick weather chat.
I got my weather page ready. I've got bomb on.
He's got a little grin on his
I'm
face.
I'm ready to go
He's
anytime.
So happy.
Yes, it's hot. No one's denying that. And no one is saying that you've been working outside, Marto, and we salute everybody that does very hot jobs.
You guys and girls are amazing. Yeah, if Roofers. You do that every bloody day. Woo-hoo.
But we also acknowledge that there is always someone worse off than yourself, and those poor people live in Birdsville. Because those poor suckers, every day since Australia Day, so what's that, January 26th?
What are we, the 8th of Feb?
It's now the 8th of Feb, yes, that's right, Robin. Every single day has hit 43 or higher.
43 or higher.
Yeah. And we're whinging that Ipswich is going to hit 41 on Sunday.
I'm going to make a claim that there's no difference between 37 and 43.
Says
is
he.
Is that a big claim?
Yeah, says he. We haven't spoken to Birdsville yet.
All right. Let's give Birdsville a ring and everyone can stop whinging.
We've got Bronwyn lined up from the Birdsville Roadhouse.
Have we got someone?
Oh, yeah, she's ready to go.
Correspondent Bronwyn. Good morning, Bronwyn.
Good morning.
How are you going in Birdsville today?
Pretty good.
Oh, listen to that positive attitude.
Yeah. You're so happy, Bronwyn.
Oh, well, it's good this morning. It's just beautiful.
Does anyone wonder, because everyone down here in the southeast of Queensland is all going, oh, how hot is it, how hot is it? Is that how you blokes carry on out there?
Generally.
Oh, okay.
How do you sleep at night if it's a minimum of 32 degrees?
Oh, well, we've got all the mod cons nowadays. We have air conditioning and whatnot.
About in the roadhouse, though? Yeah, I open up the door, I pull up after a long drive, I open the door. Is aircon in straight away? I can go into aircon?
You can go into aircon. We have a swampy air conditioners. So they're water-based, so they're good in dry heat, no good in humidity.
So yours is dry heat. If you stay out of the sun, it's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel the heat, but it's, humidity is much worse. We just had, in January, like 2 weeks where it was muggy, trying to rain, and that did nearly kill us. We were all whinging then, but basically, other than that, you try not to be out in the middle of the day in the heat, but...
Speaking of that, Bronwyn, from the Birdsville Roadhouse, where it hasn't been under 40 degrees since January 26, I believe we are always trying to find the hottest job in Brisbane.
We believe that you know someone who has the hottest job in Birdsville, which is the hottest town in Queensland. What is it?
Well, my son has the hottest job. He's a boilermaker. Cracker Fabrication here in Birdsville, he works all year round. So when we complain a little bit, he kind of tells us to bag up.
So he's got his leathers on, his helmet on, welding away.
Yep, yep.
45 degrees. He ain't got no aircon, has he?
No, no. He's got to keep doing the job. So he's just had a big job building a stock crate for a truck. And, no pulling up. You've got to get the job done.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Bronwyn, what's in the hot box there, Bronwyn? What do you got in the Bay Marie?
No, only pies and pasties.
Only? Beautiful.
It's great.
What, no mince articles or anything deep fried?
No. Oh, it's pretty quiet out this time of year.
How many do you get through? Well, you know, Birdsville Races, we were debating just before we rang you. How many come out to that?
Probably about 7,000.
Right, yeah. Wow. Pasties for everyone.
Yeah.
Bronwyn from the Birdsville Roadhouse, thank you so much.
Everyone stop whinging.
That's right.
It's all good. It's summer.
Yeah. Can you make an address to Southeast Queensland to stop whinging?
No, we'll be whinging when winter comes along.
Yeah,
it's going to be chilly. It gets down to 20.
All right. Thank you, Bronwyn. There you go, everybody. If you think you're having a hot day, spare a thought for those welding in Birdsville today. It's never under 40.
So want to hear about the Gunners last night.
Yeah.
But my questions are things like...
They reckon it was 30,000 there.
Yeah, and they were absolutely rocking. But, you know, Axl Rose has been known to be hours and hours and hours late. But they did kick off their Australian tour. They haven't actually been to Brisbane before, but they were certainly rocking it last night.
The guitar! Slash.
That's classic Slash.
Yeah. That man can play guitar. But Steve from Vicky Point, you were there. How was it?
Absolutely unbelievable. What a fantastic night. I tell you what, I can't thank Triple M enough.
So you rang yesterday morning after you heard the Gunners song and won the tickets.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. Yeah, certainly did. And look, to be honest with you, when we picked up the tickets from the gate, they had a random draw there for VIP upgrades. And we actually won that as well. So I tell you what, we just had the most amazing night you could ever imagine. So,
were you right up front? Is that what the VIP thing is?
Oh, mate, we're a front row. Oh. I couldn't believe it. We're right at the front. So there's 30,000 people there and, you know, we were right at the front.
See every wrinkle on their faces.
Absolutely. Look, hey, to be honest, that section's phenomenal.
Hey, Steve, how was Axl's voice?
Oh, mate, I thought he was brilliant. I thought the whole band was fantastic. Look, they were on time. They played for quite a long time, but unfortunately, it had to end.
Was there a noise restriction time limit?
Mate, I wouldn't have a clue.
What time did they pull up?
I'd had a few too many beers, Marto. I couldn't tell
that's
you.
That's good. Good on you, Steve. I love to hear that.
I don't think there
not
is.
Not late enough.
I don't reckon. I think at CUSAC they can go much longer than they can at Suncorp because, you know, the dead people in the cemetery don't care.
No, they couldn't care less.
And students, yeah.
Well done, mate. Did they look, this is an uncouth question.
There we go.
No, it's just because I went and saw, when I saw Motley Crue, it was about 40% music and 60% them trying to get ladies to flash their breasts.
Oh, really? Motley Crue?
Yeah. Disgusting. Did that happen, Steve?
Absolutely not. No, they were fantastic. Extremely respectful. And, yeah, I thought, one of the best bands I've ever seen.
What were they wearing? What are Guns N' Roses wearing? Are they all still into the leather pants and everything?
Yeah, look, I suppose you could say, nothing's changed. It was old school. It was really awesome. It was just a fantastic night.
Okay, so did Slash have his top hat on?
He certainly did. Had it on all night.
There you go.
Wow. Someone's got to cover the ball spot. All right, Steve. Well done, mate. Glad that you went along. Excellent work. Thanks for being our representative, buddy.
Thank you so much. And Robin,
yes.
So fantastic to see you at Triple M.
Oh.
I've actually made the transition across to Triple M in December last year. And what an experience. Love it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely paid dividends for you, Steve.
It's working for you, buddy.
Steve on the payroll.
On your brother.
Steve.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.